I was recording something when it was actually working, and I'm like, what is that ticking? It was picking up on my damn clock.
Yeah, that's why I don't use one. I have one right over there. It's right off screen, but I'm using a dynamic mic. Or actually, this is a hypercardioid condenser mic, but it's a really high quality one. Not too expensive, around $250, but...
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's a Shure Beta 87, which I like a lot. But anyway, we're not here to talk about microphones. We're here to talk about you and your nonfiction brand and what that means and how you went about it. But first, I just want to read a little something that I know you approve of because it's from your website. The full story in her own words. Ugh, I got fired. Okay, so here's the thing. I wish I could say starting my own business was birthed out of a gutsy act of valor, but it wasn't. On the first day of my 8th year, I was fired from a job I never thought I would leave. Actually, the word he used was dismissed. The unraveling. What happens next? Well, I'm not going to read any further because I want you to tell that story because I think it's a story that a lot of people of a certain age and also of a certain global pandemic might be facing. And take us through your journey so that it might help other people understand that they are not alone, nor are they condemned to a life of servitude to our AI digital overlords, at least not yet.
Well, that's very interesting that you picked up on that, because what's one of the things I love about your brand is that you really embrace authenticity. And I think when we met at Social Media Marketing World, that was one of the things that we really connected on. And so when I wrote that, it was because I wanted people to, I just have a need not to be fake. And you're right, we're going through a lot right now. And that was probably one of the worst days of my life. I was working at a radio station and I thought I loved it. I did love it. I mean, you know, I enjoyed helping small businesses and I enjoyed the creative aspect of it. I got really good at writing commercials and just really good at marketing in general. And I really thought I was at a job I never thought I would leave. And I got caught in between two advertisers. And basically, there were two car dealers, which, you know, if you've been in advertising for a long time, you know that they can be very competitive. And they were both advertisers of the radio station I worked for. And one of their employees decided to jump ship and go work for the other car dealer. And I knew him, and somehow my name got thrown in the mix because they were all upset. Oh, you're trying to steal my client, or you're trying to steal my employee. And they're like, oh, no. We have a mutual friend in common. And somehow my name got thrown in. It was very innocent. And I look back on it and I'm like, if you can ever be fired, that was probably the best way to be fired. And so it struck me like out of the blue. Literally, it was on the very first day of my 8th year at a job I never thought I'd leave. I walked in and my boss called me into his office and basically told me that I was dismissed because I caused the loss of a client. And I was the number 2 salesperson there against someone that had been there for 25 years. It was his only job. And, you know, I was devastated. I couldn't believe it. I never even thought that would be possible. So I ugly cried and it took me about 2 hours to clean out my desk. And it was really super awkward because everybody's like kind of tiptoeing around me and I'm just ugly crying all over the place. And then I went home, cleaned the carpets like any sane, natural person would do in a situation like that. Because I looked down at the carpets and I thought, man, these are really stained up and I'm going to be home for a while. So I really don't want to look at this. And so I decided to clean the carpets, go figure. And then I got into my car because it was reaching the time where the kids get off the school bus. And so I got in my car and I drove to an empty parking lot because I didn't want to be home when my kids got off the school bus, because I didn't want to have to tell them that mommy got canned. And I was just really afraid. My son was 10 or 11 and my youngest daughter was 7. My oldest daughter was already in college. And so I drove to an empty parking lot. And then I remember texting my pastor and asking him what I should do. Like, what am I going to tell the kids? And he just said, well, just tell them the truth. And so I went home and I told them the truth. And my son looked at me and he said, Mom, could you just get a job where you can be home when we get off the school bus? And that's when I knew. It was like, oh, thank God. That was just like one thing out of the way, because, you know, I was panicking, but at least they weren't. So then the next day I got up and I took a shower and got cleaned up, which was just a victory because I haven't even showered today, quite honestly. And many of you that are listening may not have showered in 2 days. I don't know.
Hey, well, I just want to stop you for a second and say that I have showered. I've brushed my teeth. I've even trimmed my beard.
You look really nice, honestly.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
But, and your hair looks good too. So.
Oh, thank you. Oh, well, you know, that's Elizabeth, my wife. She did a great job. And, you know,
that's a wife cut.
Yeah, that's a wife cut. She's a keeper.
Clearly.
It's her birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Elizabeth. I want to stop you just for a second because I want to go all the way back to the fact that you cleaned your carpets. And I'll tell you why. Because it's kind of one of those things you go, why would you do that? And the answer is, I felt totally out of control in my life. And there was one thing I knew I could do to regain even a semblance of control. And that is, I can plug in the carpet shampooer or whatever it is and clean my carpets. I want to point to that and say that was a positive step in the absolute right direction, which is I've just lost control of my life. What single thing can I do in the next 5 minutes that will give me a little bit of control back?
You know,
congratulations. You didn't even know you were doing it, but that's exactly what you were doing.
That's so smart. I never thought of that. That makes a lot of sense. I always thought it was because I didn't want to look at the stains, but you're right. That is 100% right.
I think that's so important because the next step you took was in a much bigger step than just plugging in the carpet shampooer. It was actually going out and starting your own business. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So then, like I said, the next day I got up and I got showered and I went out and all I could do was muster up the courage to see one client. And at the time, DP, like I was working for a small market radio station and I was writing and producing over 90% of all my clients' commercials. And the radio station didn't give me time to like explain what happened. They just sort of wiped me off the map. And so like, I was devastated personally. You know, my feelings were super hurt there, but I also felt an obligation to my clients. And so I went out and I just started visiting one client after another. And basically I told them that I had 7 great years and one really crappy day, which was kind of a lie, honestly, because I had several crappy days, but I didn't want to put them in a bad light. And I said that, you know, I believe that they'd made the best decision that they could with the information that they had and that they were going to be well taken care of. And I just wanted them to know that the reason why I just wasn't abandoning them. And so inevitably that led to the conversation of, well, where are you going? What are you going to do? Ugh, I hate that. What are you going to do when you don't know what you're going to do? So I said, well, ideally, I would like to continue doing what I'm doing, but I was servicing an account list of over 250 clients, and I could do a pretty good job with a lot of them, but I wanted to do an excellent job with just a few. And so I said, ideally, I'd like to continue doing this, but on, you know, not just for radio. That would be my dream, you know, is to do that. And so every time someone would ask me that, I would say, well, ideally, I'd like to do this. And then I thought, I don't want to go work for the other radio stations because I already know what's behind the door on that one. And so I didn't want to start over. And then I thought, I had dinner with some business owners. They weren't previous clients of mine, but I knew them. I had dinner with them one night and they said the same thing, asked me, well, what are you going to do? And I gave them the spiel. Ideally, I'd like to do this, but I really don't know. And they said, you know what? It was a greenhouse, actually. And it was about a week before Mother's Day or 2 weeks before Mother's Day, and which is like their Christmas, you know? And they said, you know what, Dana, we have no idea what commercials that we have running right now. We don't have a handle on our advertising. We would love to have someone like you work for us. That would be perfect. And I thought, because I saw an opportunity, you know, a need, if you will, for small businesses. They couldn't afford like a big shot agency, but they could probably afford a little shot like me. And so I thought, if I needed, and I'm going to be very transparent here, I needed $5,000 a month at the time to pay my bills. And so I figured out, I didn't know I was doing this, but now they call it reverse engineering. But I just, if I could find 10 clients to pay me $500 a month to do their marketing, then I will survive. So I was still in survival mode. And so I told them, they said, we really need this. And I said, well, let me put together a business plan. And then they were after me and after me, come on, Dana, we really need to, you know, the time is growing closer. And I'm like, hold on. I got to figure this out. But that's what I did. I just 10 clients for $500 a month. And you know what? It never actually happened that way. I never actually had 10 clients that paid me $500 a month, but that was just a start. That was, again, probably control so that I could, you know, chunk out how I could, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time. So I was doing that and they hired me. They were my first client and they hired me for $600 a month. And I, well, $599, you know, because so much better than 600. Yeah. And then from there, I went to the next client and the next client was a car dealer. One of the car dealers that was caught in, you know, in this feud. And I was his radio rep. And he was so mad that I got fired over this thing that he pulled his advertising. So you have two major advertisers that pull their advertising. You lose your number two sales rep, you know, and I went into him and I said, this is what I'm doing. I just want you to know about 3 weeks later, I just want you to know I'm okay. And this is probably the best thing that's ever happened to me. And he sat with me for about 2 hours. And this guy is like so ADD, worse than me. And he can never really pay attention to anything for any length of time. But so he sat with me for 2 hours and just poured, you know, his business knowledge into me and, you know, was giving me advice. And I mean, I so appreciated that. And so when I got up to leave, he goes, I'm in, I want to hire you. And I said, no, Ken, you don't want to do that. He goes, no, I do. He goes, I want to be your first. And I said, well, he's like, you never forget your first. And I'm like, well, you're actually not my first. So I already have one, but he said, no, really. And I said, no, you're just doing that because you feel sorry for me. You feel responsible. And then he said it again. And I thought, you know what? I'm not looking a gift horse in the mouth. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And then it just little by little, it went from there. And I remember I got like I had 3 weeks of really good, or maybe a month. I probably had a month of bills, you know, that I could, or a month of income that I could actually, you know, pay my bills with. And I remember kind of just praying and saying, well, God, I'm going to give it 3 weeks and I'm going to walk through the doors. And if the doors open, then great. And if they don't, I'll go find a real job. And that was 10 years ago.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Culture Chicken Brand Egg. What's that? It's one of my most requested presentations, now available as in-person live or virtual online presentations. If you've got a group or association that loves presentations that inspire, inform, entertain, and get you going at the same time, we should talk. Head on over to dpknewton.com/speaking to download my full speaker media kit today. And let's start talking about how I can help you get your party started.
I remember the day that I walked back into the radio station that fired me because I was a client now representing a few small businesses that hired me to do their advertising. And I remember being really afraid and scared and kind of ashamed, honestly. But my oldest daughter told me, Mom, you just put your, you know, head up high, hold your head up high and shoulders back and walk in there like you own the place. And it was kind of one of those revenge body situations where it was 3 weeks later, they had fired me. And now I'm coming in and it's like, I'm a client. You have to be nice to me. So yeah. And that's really how it got started.
Well, before we go any further, let me ask you this very simple question. Are you glad that you are driving your own boat, or would you prefer to be an oarsman on someone else's boat?
Oh my gosh. Honestly, I am so glad. I remember my boss would show me pictures of the house he was building, the custom house he was building. And I thought, after I got fired and I had my own business, I thought, you know what? Here I was, like, I was paying for his house that he was building. And not that honestly, I feel really good about it. I'm so glad. But this is kind of a misconception, I think, with people that start their own business. At least it was for me. I never feel like I'm in control. I always feel like I'm looking over my shoulder. And it's probably because of that situation. I thought I was so safe in that job. And it came out of the blue. And I consider, even though I know I'm self-employed, I don't really think of myself as self-employed because I look at my clients and I feel like I've traded one boss for another.
That's because you're out there to serve them at a level of quality, of caring, of relationship and proactivity that you kind of had when you were an employee for other people. But guess what? you're now totally diversified so that if one of them has a stupid bad day and they say, you're fired, you say, oh, I'm so sorry. See you later, because I've got how many other clients that I can now serve. And by the way, now I can take on this other person I was talking to that I was kind of putting off, but now I have capacity so I can do it.
It's so true. That's exactly right. Yeah. It feels so good to drive the boat, and it feels so good to do that. And it's also, you know, I worked in corporate America for many years when I lived in Southern California, and it was like every month was starting over, and every month there was a danger of getting fired. And I was listening to Conan O'Brien's podcast yesterday, and he was talking to Mike Myers about working on SNL. And it's hard to believe, you look at somebody like Mike Myers, and I'm not trying to like compare myself to Mike Myers or anything, that'd be amazing. But he said, you know, for the first 3 years that he was at SNL, he was always afraid he was going to get fired.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my gosh, that's how I've kind of lived my whole professional life. You know, this anxious, wound tight, but you know, inside, like outside, I'm real happy, go lucky, and I'm making everybody laugh. But inside, I'm just sort of dying a little bit, you know? And he said, you know, it's interesting that Conan said, it's kind of sad that you didn't soak it in, you know, that you couldn't really enjoy it. And that really got me thinking, I really need to do more of that.
Well, you know, you are not alone when it comes to that, because anybody who's good, and by the way, you share something very close to what Bill Gates has talked about. I don't know if you've ever heard this anecdote, but Bill Gates was asked, I think by some journalist or something like that, what competitor do you fear the most, or who do you feel is your fiercest competitor? And he said, oh, anybody that we compete with today is not the one I worry about. I worry about the kid in a garage creating a technology I know nothing about that could totally change what we do. Now, you know, at the time, he was the richest man on the face of the earth, with Microsoft, the most dominant company in personal computing, and also, you know, a lot of enterprise computing as well. And he's worried about some kid or some young person or some couple of guys or a couple of girls or whatever in a garage. Well, guess what? He's exactly right. It's not the person you're competing with who's within your line of sight. It's the one behind you you don't know about, and you won't know about until they take your head off. But the cool thing about doing what you're doing and what I'm doing and what a lot of nonfiction brand oriented people are doing is we're taking control of our own destiny. And that doesn't mean it's 100% without fear, because let me tell you, sometimes a bird in the hand is worth 50 in the bush. But I have to ask you this, we're in the midst of a global pandemic. Both of us are working in industries that are seeing incredible layoffs in the ad agency side. I mean, every single day, all you have to do is follow Ad Week or any of the ad publications, and you'll see that big, big name agencies are dropping people or shedding people at like 20% today, 10% today. And these are people who are starting from zero with no job. Meanwhile, I don't know about your portfolio of clients, but I'm diversified. And what's amazed me is I had some contracted stuff that the second things started being shut down, I'm like, oh, these are going away. They didn't go away. You're nodding your head very violently on your end of this Zoom call. Tell me what you're thinking about that.
Oh my gosh. And so, you know, I don't know that I'm as diversified as you, because I don't know your clients. I pretty much work for a handful of small businesses that pay me a monthly fee to do their marketing. But I remember when when this thing first came out, and actually two of my main clients, one is the car dealer that actually says, you know, he got me fired. They just celebrated 100 years in business. They're family Wow. owned and operated, and they single-handedly restored my faith in car dealers. I hated car dealers, but these guys are actually nice and amazing. But last year they celebrated 100 years. And I remember Ken, the owner, looking at me, the same guy that sat down with me for 2 hours. And he said, aren't you glad I got you fired? It was the day before the 100-year anniversary. And he said, aren't you glad I got you fired? And I said, yeah, I am. And we were all sitting around in an office. By all, I mean Ken, his two sons that run the business, and finance manager, a parts manager, and, you know, in this little tiny office, and, you know, they're having a scotch and I'm not, but it was just really kind of one of those aha moments. But I was so afraid. I read an article by this girl that was in Italy, and she was explaining to Americans, it was an article that she wrote. It was kind of like a dear Americans, this is what's coming. You know, I want to explain what this is going to look like for you. And I freaked the hell out.
I think I read the same article.
Did you?
Yeah, it was in the Atlantic or something like that.
It freaked me out so much that I called. I'm really good friends with the controller of the car dealership I work for. And you know what? I love her. She really is a good friend of mine. But the first, you know, one of the first meetings I had with my new client, the car dealer, he was like, you know, Dana, there's two people that run my life, my wife and Lynette. And Lynette's the controller. And I thought, right. I want to pay attention to that.
Yep.
But I texted her and it was on a Sunday afternoon. And I was so, I was thinking, what am I going to do? And I was like, have you prepared for, you know, what's going on? Are we going to shut down? You know, have you read this article? And she's so amazing. She had actually started ordering toilet paper back before you and I even went to social media marketing world. It was the day before the 100-year anniversary. And he said, aren't you glad I got you fired? And I said, yeah, I am. And we were all sitting around in an office. By all, I mean, Ken, his two sons that run the business. And, you know, and she tried to do her best to assure me that, you know, I would be taken care of. But yet there was still this, I don't know. And that week I met with my other main client, which is a Harley Davidson dealership. And, you know, I remember the owner and I were sitting there talking and he said, you know, Dana, I don't know. I mean, if we have to close down, there's going to be some change. We're going to have to make some changes. And I sat there and I got that sick feeling in the pit of my stomach. And I said, well, so when you say make changes, are we talking about like cutting back on advertising or cutting back on me maybe? And he's like, well, I mean, no doubt about it. And I mean, our payroll is our biggest expense. And so if we have to shut down, I mean, yeah. And he's never laid anyone off in his life. You know, that's another family owned business and they've been in business going on 70 years now. I left there just sick, you know, at the thought. Yeah. Because yeah. I hadn't prepared. Last year, I spent a ton of money investing in myself and investing in real estate and stuff. And so this year was supposed to be my catch-up year. And I was just sick and I couldn't believe it. But then I thought, you know what? Just kind of take control of your own destiny. And also in service to the client, I went online and I was looking at other Harley Davidson dealerships. One, the biggest one in Kansas City, for the state of Missouri, had completely shut down. And this is before we were even asked to, before they decided what an essential business was. He completely shut down, was doing nothing on social media. And so I remember turning to Larry, the owner, and I said, you know, here's the thing, Larry, this guy I'm looking at, Worth Harley Davidson, they're not doing anything on social media and they're completely shut down. This is right before the big bubble of spring hits, you know, it should be your busiest time. I said, just promise me one thing, because he and I have been working on doing tons of live videos and they've been killing it at social media. And I said, even if you fire me, if you have to let me go, please, for the love of everything good, do not stop doing stuff on social media, because people are going to be at home with their phones in their hands. They want to get out because they're going to be sequestered. You know, they're going to want to get out. And if you show up, because these other people aren't showing up, I want you to show up because I want you to be there when this thing breaks and you've been talking to these people all along and that's who they're going to think of first.
Hey, nonfiction branders. Did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Anne Hanley, said, this isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts. Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, ROTOMA. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way. What you're talking about is the difference between transaction and relationship. Because so many marketers are about advertising for transactions instead of building relationship. Here's the thing. Why did that car dealer choose you when you needed him most? Because you had built a relationship with him. And they understood that you're ramping up a business. Things are going to have hiccups. Billing's going to be weird until you figure out your accounting system. You know, all that stuff. We don't care about that because we know you. We care about you. You've always done well by us. we're putting our chips on you because, frankly, we only have to put radio commercials at the radio station. How they get there, we don't care. If you're the one who's going to broker that deal, great, because we know that you are a person who's built a relationship with us where you relieve our pain, where you calm us down, where you have a head on a swivel and you're bringing ideas to us that we never would have thought of. You don't even know how valuable you are to us. Why? Because you're building a relationship, not selling a transaction. And you're 100% right, because I ride a motorcycle, not a Harley, but anyway.
Okay.
But let me tell you, has that stopped me from looking at websites about bikes or trips across the United States or the place I want to go next or the equipment I want to get or the kind of wish book stuff? And if there's someone telling me about a new tire that is perfect for my bike and explaining why it is, I'm going to start looking at the tire on the back of my bike right now going, well, it is getting a little old. And if this is so much better, and because you told me about it, who am I going to buy it from?
Oh my gosh, you're still speaking my language. In fact, we just did a video on tires and there's Bingo. This new one that we're carrying. It's super sticky and hugs the road. And I mean, I love that. I've had this discussion with so many marketing people before, but one, I just want to say before I forget this is that for people that are getting laid off and that are in marketing, whether they're coming from a big shot agency or, you know, or whatever, a newspaper, you know, if they're jumping ship, there's a huge opportunity in small business. I mean, there is such a big opportunity. Anyone can really do what I did, you know, and I just think of all these people that are going without jobs to look at, don't look at what you don't have, you know, look at what is the potential, what you do have. And that is all this experience and back end knowledge. I mean, I could walk into a client and I know so much about the industry that I, you know, have this secret weapon type information. I know how to negotiate rates. I know, you know, what they're willing to offer. And so many people have such an opportunity right now. And with social media the way it is, I mean, it's going to continue to get bigger and grow. I mean, people know that they need it. And small business, I believe, is really huge, huge opportunity for people. But, you know, when you talk about transactions and relational buying and transactional buying, oh my gosh, I just love that. Everyone's a transaction. We're all transactional. We're all relational, but I believe it can change. I believe you can take someone that was a transactional buyer, you know, and flip them to a relational buyer. And you show up in such an authentic, personable way. And you show up being of value and helping, whether it's via social media, on live videos and bringing value in YouTube or just, you know, just even radio commercials, you can do that with. But man, I've seen it done over and over and over again, where people, even in my life, I was a transactional buyer for shoes. I would buy the cheap, if I was looking for one pair of shoes, and it was a specific pair, I would find whoever had it the cheapest and I would buy it until I became friends with someone that owned a shoe store.
Right.
And suddenly I flipped. And so, I mean, it's, do you believe that? Do you believe people can switch?
Oh yeah. I can point to myself because I'm a cheap ass rat bastard because I've got daughters in college. So I'm always price obsessed. Until it comes to something that you need tremendous quality and value in the same thing. And that's when you have to rely on experts in whatever you're doing. Like we're putting a new deck on our house. And that's something we did the due diligence. We had a couple guys came out, but we have one guy who's built a relationship with us. And he came over and we started talking about it. And before he was done, and we're like, oh, yeah, of course we're going to hire this guy because he's got the relationship and he always does the extras and never tacks on extra charges. He fixes stuff he sees on our house that might need fixing on the way to do the job that we hired him to do. You know, like that little piece of fascia that's kind of coming off the side of your house, he'll just put up a ladder and fix it for you. And then he'll start working on the job that you're actually paying him for. And he'll never charge you for that stuff.
And you've done that, I'm guessing, too.
Well, I go out of my way to do whatever is possible. You know, like people always want me to bid things by hour. I hate hourly bidding because I hate to say it, but my hourly rate is higher than a lot of people would like to pay.
Yep.
Or in comparison to some kid who just got out of art school or something like that, I'm a multiple per hour of what they're charging. If you're that type of buyer, frankly, I don't need you. You're a bottom feeder. Go for the lowest price. But if you're like a client who just signed a project today, we were up against someone who was one quarter of the price I quoted, and they went with us because, quote, I know you'll get us better stuff than they can do. Bingo. The relationship is what got me the premium price. That premium price is available, or I can charge that because of the brand that I've created and the relationships that brand has developed over time. And by the way, you can see Dana and I can go on and on for hours, and we will in next week's episode. But first, I want to say, because I didn't even introduce you at the beginning at all, I'm talking to Dana Sanchez of Clipboard Confidence, a marketing firm in Missouri, USA. And we met, I would say, pretty briefly at Social Media Marketing World in San Diego earlier this year. And within 5 minutes, I'm like, boom, we're friends. You know, and we're going to talk about that meeting in this next episode. But for now, I'd like to have you tell people who might be listening how they might be able to follow you. Like, what's your main social channel? Where can they connect with you? What's your website? Stuff like that.
Sure. Well, my website's clipboardconfidence.com. And the reason why it's named that is because, quite frankly, I mean, I don't have a college education. I barely graduated high school. But I always thought if you carried a clipboard and you look serious, you can go wherever you want. And that's kind of how I live my life, you know. It says nothing about marketing, but that's where you can find me, in a very unupdated website, unfortunately. But you can. My main channel is Facebook. And I've got a lot of videos on there. You can find me at Dana Sanchez, Clipboard Confidence. Actually, I think it's just Dana Sanchez Marketing Consultant, because they wouldn't let me change it to Clipboard Confidence when I asked. And I do a lot of videos on there that talk about, it's called How Not to Suck. I mean, in business, marketing, and life. And a lot of good information on there, or just a laugh, honestly. It's kind of, it can be pretty funny, I think. So yeah, just look me up on there.
Well, great. We're going to be talking again next week on the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. And for now, I just want to say I'm DP Knutton, of course, your host of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. And she is
Dana Sanchez.
And we'll be talking at you next week. Bye-bye.